Lord. I say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are welcoming to the presence of the Almighty God this morning. And I pray as we have come, we'll be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can we please bow our hearts for prayer? Almighty Father, we appreciate you. We bless you once again for the opportunity to be here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we are about to go into your word, O Lord, Father, we ask, O Lord, that you be merciful unto us, open our spiritual eyes so that we'll be able to understand your word in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for more grace so that we be no doers of your word, no teacher or hearer alone in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in precious name of Jesus we pray. The topic before us this morning is, who is a Christian? And most of the things I want to talk about has been mentioned here today. So it shows us that the Spirit of God is one. So that is the word that God wants us to hear. I'm really sure that we've heard it this morning. And that is why this topic is coming up. It says, who is a Christian? Ask yourself, ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? Praise the Lord. As we go along this morning, we'll be able to, answer it, and God will help us in Jesus' name. As we all know, Christian is a spiritual status. That's the way I put it, simple. And also we know Christian is a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember in the book of Acts chapter 11, the disciples there were first called Christian, And if you go back home and read again, we should cultivate the habits of the Berean Christian. Whatever they hear in the church, they go back and read it. If we go back to Acts chapter 11, just read the whole chapter. Before the disciples were called Christian, many things happened. They look at them and they saw that they can stand, that they know what they want, they know what they believe, and they pursue it. So that's why they now look at them and say, this one, they are Christian. And I believe that by the word we are going to hear this morning, many things will be changed in our life in Jesus' name. We have been called into the kingdom of God. And we see there are some, we all know about monarchies. I'm a big fan of the British monarchy, everybody knows. And I like them. I've read many documentaries about them. I've read so many books. I stopped myself when I started becoming emotional about Princess Diana. And I've studied so much about them. And I look at things that, just like we have our own spiritual status, they have their own status too. But because they are godly princess and prince, there are some things that, just like the Bible gave us something that should not be mentioned among us, they too, they have their own things that should not be mentioned among them. How many of us know everything they do will result to headline? How many twins mothers do you know? There are a lot of them. Princess Mary was going to have a twin. It was a headline. How many of us will get pregnant, we go to the hospital, Ben Cousin had a baby, it was something else. So the same thing with us. Princess, what's the name? Prince Williams went to do, what do I call it, somewhere, cleaning the toilet. We clean toilet every day. How many headlines have we made? It made a headline. So it shows us something that, because we are Christian, there are some things that are still very much in vogue. We, the end-time believers, we should be very careful, because there are lots of things around us that are distracting us. So we have to be very careful, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Number one thing that is still very much in vogue is quiet time. No, look at it, it's sand and cake, but it's still very much in vogue. Our quiet time is very important. Jesus Christ, our perfect example. If you quickly open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 11. Mark 1:11. If you are there before me, I want somebody else to read, so that it's not me alone reading, so that we'll be able to understand. When you read it, you understand it by yourself. Mark 1:11. No, ma. Mark 1, chapter 11. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Mark 1:35. Sorry about that. Okay, Mark 1:35.
Morning,
Praise the Lord. I want us to go again to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. It's a very popular one that we should say by heart. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Yes, we should recite it. Joshua 1:8. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should all know it at the tip of our fingers, you know. It's very important. Quiet time is still very much in vogue if you are a Christian, you know. Quiet, our quiet time, these are the time that we, you know, we derive the grace for the day. And it has, you know, we have to do it. It's very important. You know, we have to set a meaningful time apart where we read the Bible, because the Bible says we should study ourselves approved, you know. We should read the Bible, meditate upon the word of God that you've read in the morning. You know, our quiet time can be in the morning, or even we can even wake up at night to do it. You know, because without it, there's nothing we can do. You know, we have to separate time to communicate with God. You know, we can do it at home. I remember sometimes ago, people come to the church here, they just ask us for the key. Then we just tell them, when you come to the church, you see the key, so, where people come to spend time with God. And I know, even in the city, how many of us have been to the city before? You know those big churches, the Methodist church, the Anglican church, even during the week, they open the church, they say church open, so that people can walk in and just have spent time with God. You know, it is very important that we observe our quiet time. Remember when we gave our life long time ago, you know, those are the basic thing that we're taught. So it's still very much in vogue. I will encourage each and every one of us to go back if we don't be doing it before. And it has really helped me. I used to come here, you know, every Saturday morning. So that's why sometimes I can't do some things on Saturday. And people will ask me, do Saturday you should be relaxed. And I say, no, I come here Saturday, and you know, it has really helped me just to separate myself and meditate and study the word of God. And it has really helped me. So it's very important as a Christian that we don't forget our quiet time. And number two, you know, as a Christian, we have to live a faithful life. We hear the word of God every time. Most of us, we have Christian channel at home. We read the Bible. We know what it says. Then we have to, you know, we have to believe and have faith in those word of God. We should not lean on our own understanding. We should not try to reason things out. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews 11:6, we all know it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Yes, without faith we cannot please God. It's very important as a Christian that we should not try to reason things out. We should just depend on the word of God, and it will help us. Let's quickly look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. Galatians 3, 6 to 7. If you are there, you can read. Yeah. Praise the Lord. No? Abraham is our father. He's a typical example of faith. You know, we learn so much about him, and the same thing still applies to us today. You know, it is through grace that we are saved and we have been invited to the kingdom of God. So, into his fellowship. And if we fellowship with him, we have to believe and we have to have faith in what he says. The Bible is not, you know, the word of God that we hear every time is not like, you know, maybe a novel that you just read and just go through it like that. You have to meditate upon it and read it and see what it says, you know. And, you know, it's very important for us when we don't believe, you know, we cannot even achieve anything. You know, they said, the Bible says that anybody who doubts cannot receive anything from God. So that is why it's very important. Whatever we hear, you know, we run with it, and God will help us in Jesus' name. We should be hopeful. When we hear the word of God, we should act on it, you know, and believe that it's possible. You know, we should not be deceived by the technology of nowadays. We should know that God is still the same yesterday, today, and he will continue to be the same forever. And God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, we have to be, you know, we have to separate ourselves from, you know, the world, because the Bible says as a Christian, you know, that we are not part of this world. You know where we are going. We know we are going to heaven, that we are just here temporarily, that God will help us, you know. That, you know, there are some things that are around us that if we are not careful, you know, to even read the Bible will be a struggle. Am I right? Because there are a lot of controversies, there are a lot of things, you read many things, and you see things around that are not in, you know, in line with the word of God. So we have to, you know, separate ourselves totally from it. And it is very possible, very, very possible to separate ourselves, you know, because we have to be different. We have been separated, you know, unto good works. We are chosen generation. You know, God has called each and every one of us to live a separate life, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, as a Christian, we have to expand the kingdom of God on earth here, you know. That's why if you open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto it." You know, we have to make a deliberate effort to expand the kingdom of God on earth. You know, just like we've had this morning, you know, to expand the kingdom of God, we have to sow our time, our money. I remember the Chogom week, when I was looking at the news, there's this family, they came from York. They came from York with they are no three generations. They came. Why? They wanted to see the Queen. And when they interviewed the lady, the lady said, "Oh, if they miss this opportunity in their generation, they might not see the Queen again." And I said, "Is that the way you came all the way from York?" And you know, God, you know, because they made a deliberate effort, they met the Queen. I remember my daughter was telling me that, "Oh, this is the opportunity for you. Go to the city, dress well, and go to the city so that you can meet the Queen." I said, "No, I'm not going." You know, they came. I remember there's another woman on wheelchair. You know, that one followed her to the airport. See, they met her. You know, I look at her, she's very frail, but she deliberate and she was determined, you know, to see the Queen. And it happened. So we have to make a deliberate effort. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, if we want to see the kingdom of God expanding, we have to be going about, you know, evangelism, telling people about Christ. You know, it's very important for us. And the effort, we have to be deliberate. Sometimes we say there's no time. There will never be time. Am I right? If we don't make time to expand the kingdom of God here, there will be no time. Because the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is very near. You can see, if you go back to the book of Revelation to read all the signs of end time, we can see them clearly written everywhere, very bold. So God will give us the grace and enable us so that we'll be able to expand the kingdom of, you know, if we are a Christian, we are Christ follower, we have to be obedient to the word of God. You know, we know it. It's part of those things that we learn the very first week we gave our life to Christ. You know, we should be obedient to the word of God. We should not argue. You know, once it is the word of God, that is why we all have the Holy Spirit, you know, that will lead us into all truth and will help us to understand. You go back again, read and meditate upon it. You know, it's very important. If we don't obey God's word, if we look at 1 Samuel 15:22-23. There's one of these stories that we know very well there. Obedient to the word of God. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Praise the Lord. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11:16 again. Paul was rejected as a king because of disobedience to the word of God. 1 Corinthians 11:16. 1 Corinthians 11:16. It says, praise the Lord. The summary of both passages, you know, especially the last one, what he's saying is that, you know, as a Christian, you cannot argue against the word of God. It says here that even it's not the custom of the church, you know, to argue against the word of God. We should obey the word of God fully. And what we need to do is to ask for more grace. Lord, this is what your word says. Give me grace so that I'll be able to do it. No, it is possible. It is very possible. We think it's not possible. If it is not possible, God will not ask us to do it. It is very possible. Look at Saul, a whole king. Because God told him, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better for us to obey the word of God for our benefit than not to obey the word of God. Then we, each time we come to the presence of God, we keep repenting. Lord, have mercy on me. When are we going to start to pray? If every time we come, we always come repenting, repenting, God will help us in Jesus' name. We should always ask for more grace so that we'll be obedient to the word of God, whatever the circumstance may be. The Bible is a complete book. There's no problem that you can't find the solution in the Bible. I've not seen it. Just this morning I was telling my husband, when I saw some things in the Bible, I said, this Bible is a complete book. And so if you, either we like it or not, all the legislative law, they were taken from the Bible here. We can see. When you look at the reason why they do something, and you go back to the Bible, it is the same thing. So if we are Christian, then this is our manual. So we don't even have option, because even the people in the world, they derive their wisdom from here. So how much more we? So we should ask for grace so that God will help us in Jesus' name. As a Christian, this is very important. We need to work very hard on it. Soul winning. You know, we have to win soul. There's no how that we call ourselves Christian, Christ follower. You remember, if you go read the Bible through, everywhere Jesus went, he's always winning soul. You know, because we are here, we are not going to let geographical location be a barrier to our soul winning. This is very important. Any opportunity, even in school. What I do in my own case, anybody, if I go to school and anybody complains to me about his or her child, then that's a forum, you know. Even at work, they tell us that you should not put God here. But sometimes, when you are going in the morning and you ask God, God help me, open my eyes. The people you work for, they will even be the first person to start the conversation. So that is opportunity. We should always ask God for opportunity to be, because people are doing it. You can, if you go to the city, you see people doing it. They hand out pamphlet to people and they talk to people. You know, it is very important. Let's quickly look at what Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says. Praise the Lord. Can you read it loud? Praise the Lord. Are we all there? You can mark it in our Bible so that it will help us. You know, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins soul is wise. You know, we have to win soul. Let's look at John chapter 1, verses 40 to 46. John 1. Are we there? Yeah, for.
When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Chepha, which is by interpretation a stone." 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see."
Praise the Lord. you know, this is Jesus Christ, the one we follow, you know, every opportunity, it is ordained, you know, by Jesus, by God himself, that we should win soul, you know, every opportunity, it's a commission that God has given us, every Christian, we have to share the gospel, you know, went about sharing the gospel, and more people were brought to the kingdom, you know, we cannot be a selfish Christian, we have to share the goodness of God to people. There are some people, you know, that they've not even heard about the gospel. We should make effort. It's very important. We should not say because God has brought us here, you know, probably God brought us here for that reason. So we have to make effort. We have to make a deliberate effort, you know, to do it. And as we do it, God will reward us in Jesus' name. You know, there are some people that are anti-faith, that as a Christian, that we have to separate ourselves from. Let's quickly open our Bible from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 28. As a Christian, you have to separate yourself from people who are not of faith. Okay. And one of the sons of Joada, the son of Elshab, and the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sambalat, the Horonite. Therefore, I drove him from me. Are we all there? Do I go again through it? Because this person is anti-faith. We remember when the wall, no? When they were building the wall, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, remember Sambalat and Tobiah, they are the one who went there and say, oh, this wall you are building, he first go on to read it, we collapse. Those are anti-faith, you know. He said, I drove him away from me. Simple. Nehemiah 13:28. Anybody who is anti-faith, you know, anybody who doesn't see that God is still in the business of doing things, who is bringing your faith down, we have to deliberately, you know, separate ourselves from them. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's go again to Proverbs 14:17. Proverbs 14:17. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the leaves of knowledge. Avoid negative people. People who, you know, they are anti-faith. You know, the Bible says they are foolish. You know, anybody who says there's no God, anybody who says God is not still in the business of doing things, say we should avoid them when they don't speak word of knowledge, and that is the word of God, word of faith. Avoid negative people, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, as a Christian, and we know where we are going, there are some basic things that we need to know about, and you know, there are many things that, because of our time, so I just reduce it to these 5 points, and I know God will help us in Jesus' name. Remember, as a Christian too, we don't forsake the assembly of ourselves. We have to participate. You know, Sunday is not even enough. We have to come to church on Sunday, and at the same time, we have to separate time by ourselves to meditate and read on the word of God, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, and as a Christian, we have a code of dressing. If you are a child of God, there are some, you know, there are ways that you are expected to present yourself, because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Lord. Your body, the Holy Spirit dwells in it. So you have to be careful what you do to your body. We all know that Christian dressing is, how do I put it now, it's a commandment too from God. And as a Christian, we have to follow it. So before we go into it, I'll quickly remind us of two fundamental scriptures in the Bible, which I want all of us to open our Bible to, if it is possible. Let's quickly look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15:4. These are our fundamental scriptures, the foundation of which the code of dressing, Christian code of dressing, will be built on. Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. Praise the Lord. Are we all there? Do we understand this? Say, the word of God does not change, be it in the book of Genesis or Revelation. They were written for what? For what? For our learning. So it's the same Jesus Christ today, yesterday, and it's still the same forever. Let's go again to the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 18. We are still going through our the foundation scriptures which we are going to build our code of dressing upon. Galatians 2:18. Galatians chapter 2 verse 18. He says, "For if I build those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor or a sinner." The summary of it is that, you know, there are some things the day we gave our life to Christ, we say, oh, bye-bye to these things, bye-bye to this thing, I'm not doing it, I'm not going to keep malice again, I'm not going to do this one, I'm not going to go late at night anymore. The Bible is telling us now that if we go back again and we start building them one by one, we've dropped them, then we begin to pick them again, the Bible is saying that we are what? A sinner. So, as we look at it, God will open our spiritual understanding to see what the God wants us to understand this morning in Jesus' name. Can we quickly go to the book of Exodus chapter 28, talking about Christian code of dressing. Exodus 28 verses 2 and 3. Are we all there? Okay. Can somebody read for me? Yes.
That they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest.
Praise the Lord. Can you please go to 42? The same Exodus verse 42.
Make linen undergarments as a covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh.
I don't like that version. Can somebody who has King James, I want somebody to read for. Praise the Lord. It says, 42 says, "And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from waist to the thigh." Praise the Lord. That is the standard for garments, for Aaron's garments, and the same thing still applies to us today. You know, because we are Christian, we are minister before God. Everywhere we go, the way we appear matters. You know, from the description of the dressing, from the description of what we've seen this morning, there are three important things that we learn from Aaron's garments. You know, number one, can we remind ourselves? Number one, three important things. I want people to talk so that it's not this is me making it up. Three things. Do you want us to go back again? Okay, let's go back again. One. No, let's go back to it. It says, "And you shall make holy garments." Number one, it should be holy. You know? Number two, glory. You know, it will show for the glory of God. Number three, for beauty. So there are 3 points: holiness, beauty, and for glory. You know, so if you look at it this way, you know, the way we dress, you know, when we look at ourselves, when we dress and we look at ourselves, that this way we are dressing, maybe it's not going to bring glory to God. It's not holy. Then the Bible is telling us this morning that we should repent. You know, our dressing must be holy in the sense that it must not lead other to sin. You know, there are some things you will wear. You know, I remember about 7 years ago, we have 2 brothers from Curtin University. They are part of this church. One was married and the other one was not married then, although married now. They were sitting at the back there. I just overheard them. They were talking about the way the young people in Curtin University dress. You know what the one that was married said? Say, if not because of the grace of God, these children would make somebody to commit to. Maybe he didn't know. Then the other one, who is the younger one, started laughing. No, maybe he didn't know. You know, I was just passing by and said, And no, the way we dress is very important. We have to be very careful. You know, anything, you know, that is going to make somebody to sin, you know, we can just say, oh, is it not simple? Some people, you know what can even make them to sin? Near looking at, you know, sometimes your arm, you know, they will just look at it. So you can't, you won't let know yourself. You don't know what others are patting to you. We don't know other people's weakness. You only know your own. So we have to be very careful. It must be holy. Anything that is going to make anybody, your brother or your sister, to sin, we have to run away from it. It's very important. You know, look at what the Bible says about us. But if you look at 1 Peter 2:9, say we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You know, I like the royal family. You know, look at them. They are worldly princes. How many of us know our governor general? What is the name? I don't know how to pronounce the name. My children will kill me if I try to pronounce it. What is the name? Our governor general, what is the name? Quentin, what? Yeah, say it. If I say it, they will kill me. I don't know. So who know the name of our governor general? Eh? So we don't know. Eh? Quentin. We all know. Go on, it's our assignment. Look at her. Look at her. Eh? Each time I see her, I always like the way, you know. Look at the queen. Everybody's talking about the queen. This one, we don't know. See, but we are chosen people, a royal priesthood. Eh? Look at them, the way they, you know, the way they compose themselves, the way they dress, you know. I like them. I recorded them, is it not the Princess Mary's wedding? I look at everybody as they were going in. They were all well-dressed, you know. Even, we all talk about Princess Diana, that Princess Diana was a radical. I've studied her. You look at her. Even she's well-dressed during her own lifetime. So anything, you know, from the garment of our brother Aaron, we've seen that three things. And every time we dress, we have to look at those areas. If I go out this way, will this my dressing make other people to sin? Just like I said before, that we don't know the wickedness, you know, we don't know the weakness of our fellow brother or sister. So some people, their weakness is just, you know, the certain area of the body. And God, if you look at it closely, there are some areas of our body that even if you look at it, it's not even meant to be exposed. Am I right? Look at it this way. If you look at your neck here, you know, it's different from your other part of the body. And if you look, even the people who have, they have fair skin, if you look at them, there's a way that, you know, it gets to a certain part. God is saying something. He said, cover me. You know, it's not, they are not meant to be exposed. So God is telling us this morning that the way we dress matters to him, because we don't know what others are going through. And at the same time, the Bible says that, you know, the garment of our brother Aaron, you know, it has to be holy. Praise the Lord. Number two, you know, our dressing must glorify God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31. See, praise the Lord. See, whatever we do, that we should do it to the glory of God. Remember our sin, you know, we have to do it to the glory of God. You know, if the glory of God is not going to show forth in whatever the way we choose to dress, then it means God is telling us that that is not the way. If you look again to the book of Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a very popular one that we all know. 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's telling us something there. See, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, it's talking to us, Christian, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, it's begging us, appealing to us by the table. Our body is very important because the Holy Spirit dwells in it, so we cannot do anything to our body. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye an acceptable, you know, perfect will of God. You know, that instead we should not be, you know, conformed to this world. Just like I said before, that we're in this world, but we are not part of it. We know heaven is our home. We know where we are going to. We should try to renew. We can dress nicely, not necessarily expose ourselves, and we still look good. That's why I made the example of our governor general. Go and look, you know. Number three, he says, whatever we want to put on, you know, the beauty, people will see the beauty of God in whatever we want to do. You know, whatever we wear, the beauty of God must appear. You know, in terms of cleanliness, smartness, and fitting. You know, we are all unique. What will suit me might not necessarily be the one to suit my sister-in-law. So we have to look at that fact that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So we are all unique. We have to look at it in the area of, you know, God has made us beautiful in what you put on. You know, our body should not be made an instrument for sin by what we wear. You know, instead, what we wear, you know, our body as a living sacrifice. You know, sometimes there are some things that you just see, but you just say, oh, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to participate in this type of dressing. Am I right? Because of who you are. There are some things that the Julia Gillard cannot do because of the office she's holding. There are some things I cannot do because I'm a child of God. So this is we have to understand that one, and it's very easy. You know, we have to do it because God has given us the grace. You know, how many of us, you know, we just want to walk down, you know, going, if you go to the big shopping complex, they have dress code. Am I right? They will say anybody, you can see the security, I've seen security sending people out of shopping center before because they are not dressed properly. I don't know why, but I've seen it. And they will even write you there that you have to be dressed well. How many of us, we want to go to the city and we just, you know, there's this shirt that they call that will bring out our arm like this, and we just put on our small shorts like that, you know, the men's small shorts, and you have the big tattoo here, Jesus is Lord. Then you put your face cap back to the front and you say you are a Christian and you want to minister to people. How will you understand what I mean? You know what he said, they call that, is, you know, just like a small singlet like this, a man will put it on with boxer, we all know boxer, and just put the big tattoo around your name, Jesus is Lord, your face card, flag it to the back, and you hang the big mental cross and you say you are preaching God. People will look at you twice. It's very important the way we present ourselves, and I pray we, the end time believers, we have a lot of things to do because the devil knows. The devil knows. There are three things that the devil is doing more than we Christian. The devil is deliberate. The devil, you know, is very patient. And whatever he do, he do it very well. You know, he just look at us. And we Christian, we don't care anymore. These three things, he's doing it more than us, you know. We hear the word of God, you know, he will be patient with us, he know our witness. And you know, by time, and some of us, we do things, we don't put our whole heart in whatever we do. And he do it better than us. But if he want to bring somebody down, he's very patient, very calculative. So we have to be conversant of that. And we know that Jesus Christ, who has called us, you know, into the kingdom of his dear son, wants us to inherit the kingdom with him. So we should not allow anything to stop us from the Christian race that we have. That we are in. Let's quickly look at the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. God wants us to wear a garment of holiness. Romans 13, 14. Say. Praise the Lord. What the Bible is saying, that we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, if we put on the whole Jesus Christ, you know, if we submit ourselves to the leadership of Jesus Christ, accepting his standard, you know, and make no provision, you know, accepting his standard. That is the standard that I've just read there. As Christian, we have our code of dressing. Three things, three important things. I was telling my husband this morning, when I look at it, I say, the secondary school I went to, you know, the school, they make your uniform and they have to measure you. So when they are going to measure you, they ask you to kneel down. Then I said to him, what sense is in that one? I said, how can you ask me to kneel down? You want to measure me for a pinafore? Then, no, it's true. Then I asked him, I said, then I remember then we have to kneel down, then they will measure you. Then he said, don't you know that some people, their leg here is longer? So when you kneel down, that is going to cover a wide range of things, that at least the cloth will be above your knee. I said, is that it? You know? So we have to accept the standard of God. You know, we Christian, I said even the people in the worldly people, they, you know, it is the standard of the Bible that they are using. If you look at every law closely and go back to the Bible again, they are the same. They are the same. If you accept and submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it is very possible, you know, it is very possible to still live a holy life as a Christian. It is. It is. What we need to do is just to ask God for more grace in every area. Just like I said before, quiet time is very important. That is where we derive the grace, you know, for each day. It's very important, you know, if you observe our quiet time and we study the, you know, we outline the Bible, we study the Bible, maybe we say, okay, I'm going to finish the Bible by this also way. And you know, all these things, you know, we'll be seeing it there. And what we need to do is just to submit ourselves to the authority of, you know, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he will help us. But if we don't even study the Bible, we don't even know, you know, we don't even know what the Bible says as a Christian. So we are just like that. Anyone that comes, we are just tossing, you know, the wine that come, any wine of fashion, religious, we don't even know who we are in Christ. So that is very important. Quiet time is still in vogue. Because some people will tell you that nobody even pray any hard prayer anymore. It's a lie. We need to, especially at this time, and at this end time, we need to pray and study the Bible, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Can we rise up in closing? Can we sing this song as we pray? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided no turning back, no turning back. Don't no one follow. Yes, still I follow. No one find me. I will follow. If no one find me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning. Whatever area we are struggling in our Christian race, ask God for mercy. Ask God for enablement.
Also pray that God will make you an able and worthy representative of Him. Able and worthy representative of Him. Remember, you are not dependent on your own. That qualifies you and makes you able to live according to the word of God. That makes you able to live in a way that you represent Him well. Thank you, Jesus. Who is the Christian? You are the Christian. You are the epistle that people read. From today, people will read righteousness from your life in Jesus' name. From today, people will read victory from your life in Jesus' name. From today, people will read breakthrough from your life in Jesus' name. They will read holiness, they will read virtue, they will read godliness in Jesus' name. They will read love, they will read mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. Because Jesus has been written upon you, you now live the life of Jesus. He supplies the ability. You bring the willingness. As you submit yourself to His authority today, your life is changing and turning around for good in Jesus' name. You become the testimony that people will hear and they will change and turn their life to Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word you speak today. I pray, O God, that like Peter, we become fishers of men in Jesus' name. Lord, there was a war against Israel. The king of Israel asked King Jehoshaphat to dress like a king. And he dressed like an ordinary person. When the other party came, their focus was to kill the king. And so they wanted to kill Jehoshaphat. And he shouted and said that he was not the king. And he was delivered. In other words, our dressing can attract some negativity. My Father, my God, from today, every mode of presentation of ourselves that is said to attract negativity, my Lord and my God, we cry. We raise our voice to you, O God. We ask that you intervene in Jesus' name. We are too preoccupied with Christ to care about the flesh. Therefore, Christ will be seen in our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we commit this week into your hand. As we live, the Holy Spirit will engulf us in Jesus' name. I said the presence of Jesus will encircle us in Jesus' name. We are your ambassadors. Strengthen our hands to fulfill your purpose for our lives in Jesus' name. Make us victorious this week. And when we shall come together at the end of this week, O Lord, we will ascribe greatness and glory to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord.